It's the Giant Foam Finger, a special sports-themed edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Stephen Thompson. I am a writer and editor with NPR Music, and I am here with Code Switch lead blogger Gene Demby. Hello, Gene.
How are you, Stephen? It's good to be here again.
It is good to be here, too. In this episode of the Giant Foam Finger, we are going to talk about a pretty broad topic.
Yes.
That I hope we can narrow down, but it's a juicy one. Hatred!
Yes.
I wanted to talk about how sports hatred is different from other hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I almost want to dare a taxonomy of hatred as it pertains to sports.
I mean, you've said this before, but hatred is almost, it is one of the animating forces of fandom. And so much of you being a diehard Packers fan is your enmity for the Bears.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's one of the things that defines us. Like, it is central to our allegiances.
Yeah, I sometimes go to a Packer bar here in D.C. where after every Packer touchdown, the entire crowd chants, "The Bears still suck." And it doesn't matter. They could be playing, like, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and people will chant, "The Bears still suck," after every touchdown.
Because the Bears are central. And the Bears don't even matter. They're not. They have not been good for a very, very long time.
They've been intermittently good.
Yeah, they've been mediocre.
They haven't won a Super Bowl since...
Since 85, since, right?
Yeah, the year that shall not be named.
But that is... I mean, I'm a Eagles fan. I lived in New York for a long time. I was surrounded by New York trash-talking New York Giants fans. Giants are one of our rivals,
sure.
But my enmity is about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I know three people from Dallas, maybe.
Right.
Know? There's no sort of geographical proximity. Like, there's no reason for me to hate the Cowboys, except for by law, I'm required to hate the Cowboys.
But that rivalry is so interesting. Like, as a Packer fan, I also hate the Cowboys because of the 90s,
sure,
when the Cowboys were a dominant team. And I have found that it has been, like, a unifying thread,
sure,
between me and, like, you as an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. Like, you and I watched the Packers play the Cowboys together because,
yep,
I knew we'd be equally invested.
Absolutely.
I've bonded with New York Giants fan friends over hatred of the Cowboys. The Washington team here, all my Washington fans,
right,
we can talk smack about the Cowboys.
My girlfriend is a Niners fan. She hates the Cowboys because,
right,
of the 90s, and they would face off in the NFC Championship.
I think it's really good for everybody to have a common enemy.
So my question is sort of, why do we hate the Cowboys? I mean, it's a big question, but, like, where does it even come from?
I could break out my taxonomy here,
okay,
but I do think that the Cowboys fall beautifully into the category of hatred that is like the rich get richer,
mm-hmm,
the bullies. They have all the advantages. Like, they've got the rich, swaggering owner and, like, a $2 billion stadium, mm-hmm, complex, that America's team,
ugh,
thing that, like, nobody other than the Cowboys would ever bestow upon them.
Right.
It's audacity and braggadocio, whether earned or not.
Right, but the thing about that is that, okay, besides the hideous monstrosity of a stadium, mm-hmm, I've never been, so I can actually say it was hideous monstrosity.
You've seen it on TV.
Right, exactly.
It's a big screen
that's fine
there
enough.
Or something. Jerry Jones.
I was thinking, I was talking this out the other day with some people, and, like, okay, so Jerry Jones is the
owner of the Cowboys.
The owner of the Cowboys. He is a billionaire oligarch. I don't know if he comes from oil money. It doesn't matter. He's super rich.
Just imagine him, like, even though he doesn't look like this at all, just imagine him in, like, a 20-gallon hat.
Right, exactly. But Jerry Jones, as sort of the locus of a lot of our hatred, is interesting because all NFL team owners necessarily,
right,
are the 1%iest of the 1%.
Except for the Green Bay Packers, of whom I am an owner.
Right. Do you really own a stake in the
team?
Yeah,
I have a share. It, mm-hmm, hangs over my mantle.
Wow.
It cost me a cool $200.
Really?
Yeah, one of the best investments I ever made. It's worth nothing. but I think that bullies,
mm-hmm,
category is one. I think rivals,
mm-hmm,
is another one. And sometimes your rival can be a bully,
a bully.
And then you really, really,
right,
hate them. I think there's a category of sports hatred that is reserved for dynasties.
Okay.
For the sense that, like, for a while when I was following baseball, the Yankees were just winning every year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just got to the point where I just, whoever
enough,
wasn't the Yankees, mm-hmm, that was who I was rooting for. I was like that when I was following the NBA,
mm-hmm,
the Bulls and then the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get incredibly invested in whatever team was not the Bulls or the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. But so the Cowboys are neither a bully,
mm-hmm,
or they're not good, right? They're not.
They well, they kind of are now.
They
won the division.
You
know who didn't win the division? The Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, Steven. This is over. I'm taking off my headset. I'm
Gene's just chucking his headphones across the room.
Screw everything.
Across the room.
But all of the little pieces of your taxonomy neatly fit for the New England Patriots.
Right. Well, and that's the next one,
sure,
actually, that I want to talk about, which is, and I put air quotes around it, cheaters.
Okay.
any athlete, any team that has a sense hovering around them and where the chief criticism of them is that they cheat. Mm-hmm. The Patriots are a perfect example of that, in part because it's these kind of seemingly nickel and dime things, like the spying on the practices of the other team, aka Spygate.
Right.
There's Deflategate in the past offseason, where like Tom Brady was suspended 4 games for his alleged involvement in deflating footballs to make them, I guess, easier to grip, making it more advantageous to the quarterback. And that's why the Patriots beat the Colts 45-7. That 38-point differential was based on those slightly deflated footballs. But when I hear Patriot haters talk about them, and Gene raises his hand, you can't see it, I think that hatred is a confluence of a lot of the things we're talking about. They win a lot, they've won a bunch of Super Bowls, their coach is not very likable, and you know, they've been brought up on, you know, accusations of chicanery.
Right.
And what I'm trying to get to is sort of like a BuzzFeed style, like, what does your sports hatred say about you? And like, when you think about who you hate most in sports, like, what is it about you that makes you especially susceptible to that kind of hatred?
Right, right. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Like, if you are a hater of Duke basketball, right, that means you hate sort of preppy, and our friend Linda Holmes is a Duke basketball fan.
Right.
But if you're a hater of Duke basketball, you are sort of taking, you can at least wrap your hatred of Duke in this sort of stance against preppy kids who are, you know, entitled and have a bunch of advantages. And then there's also always sort of allegations that the refs are going for
Duke. Oh my God, the refs.
I mean, that's completely baseless, but it doesn't matter. Like, sports hatred is a space in which people can be really illogical. Like, why would the refs have a rooting interest in Duke winning a basketball game?
Right? Yeah, so many of the cases in which it's like, well, the refs were clearly in the tank for just anything where there's a controversial play is usually silly. But that, I think, falls into the taxonomy of cheaters. That idea that, like, they can't possibly get ahead on their own merits, and we can't possibly have lost on our own merits, so it comes down to cheating. And I thought of another category, and this is one where I fall into big time.
Okay.
I hate Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell is the commissioner of the NFL, sort of a CEO, kind of a corporate position. It makes $44 million a year.
And they're a nonprofit, remember.
They're a nonprofit organization. And, you know, it's everything from the slap on the wrist that was given to Ray Rice, you know, 2-game suspension for a domestic violence incident, with these, like, wildly disproportionate suspensions for, like, marijuana use. But then when the microscope was on him, there was no accountability whatsoever. And it pinged all of my, like, entitled bully, you know, like, you know, rich guy doesn't play by the rules. and I feel like I will get super, super wrapped up in hating Roger Goodell. And it's like, what does that say about me? You know, it's like, Roger Goodell's just another CEO, just another kind of suit. But like, why is it so incredibly intense? And I feel like it's that unchecked power.
So you didn't feel this way about Paul Tagliabue, his predecessor?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, it's Goodell obviously is like cut like a more public figure, right?
And Goodell is also moralistic.
Yes, he is.
And I think that it's that mixture of total lack of accountability with moralism. Is a really toxic mix for me. I wanted to talk about another example of somebody that I know is often hated, that you love.
I adore.
LeBron James.
Yes. So, and so much of my fandom for LeBron James is about his being hated. Like, I think, you know, I was a fan of him as a basketball player. He does amazing things on the court. And then when he left Cleveland, and granted, the decision was a...
This is when I started hating LeBron James.
When he went to Cleveland and there was the jerseys burning and this, all this, like, weird sort of, like, he owes us this. And it's kind of like, this guy is 24, 25, I forget how old he was, maybe 26 when he decided to make that move. He's deciding he wants to go work somewhere else, which is a decision we all make at some point in our lives.
Well, and we all have this nauseatingly self-aggrandizing press conference.
Oh, I mean, okay, so
in which we stick a knife in our city's back.
Okay, so that was
literally
unwise.
Literally all he had to do was say, I'm leaving Cleveland, I'm going to have a press conference to tell you where I'm going to go. Instead of stringing Cleveland fans along, saying, like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
That was not a smart move. That was unwise. for the first 2 years, everyone just dogged him wherever he went.
Right.
And it just sort of like steeled me, like it just made me like more sort of adamant in my fandom for him, especially after, you know, I mean, he should have, his numbers were insane that year, the first year.
But I think it ties into a little bit of what you were saying about it being illogical,
mm-hmm.
that like when you have to strain to find a basis to criticize an athlete you simply don't like.
Right.
You know, we just had Serena Williams win her, was it 21st
yep.
title. But then you see criticism and it's like, on what basis?
Right, and it's because of like, now it's like about the way she looks or whatever, right? It's not even about.
Well, yeah, eventually it becomes unbelievably asinine.
Right, yeah, just, I mean, because it's not about like the criticism, just be like, oh, she takes too much time off to do other things, right? She wants to model and she wants to make clothes or whatever. And it turns out now all those things probably helped her tremendously because she wasn't putting as much wear and tear on her body because right. she was taking big chunks of the season off. So now she's in her 30s and she's like hitting her
still
stride.
Still incredibly, right? Unbelievably dominant.
Right.
I think about illogical sports hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Think about like you're a Philadelphia Eagles
yes.
fan.
Mm-hmm.
The disproportionate amount of hatred directed at your third string quarterback, Tim Tebow.
Tebow is such a fascinating case because it's almost like he embodies all this culture war stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tebow is, I think, a child of missionaries, or he has done missionary work himself. He's very outspoken in his Christian belief. And he was beloved as a college football player, even though, like...
he was, yeah, but also hated, you know, certainly sure. by college football rivals.
Sure, right. He was incredibly polarizing as a college player because he sort of seemed to embody this, you know, oh, he's just like a regular guy who loved the Lord and he wants to throw a football down the field. And people seem to make excuses for him. I'm saying this as a Tebow hater. People seem to make excuses for his, like, sometimes terrible play. The stuff that people bring to Tebow is not about him in particular. It's about a bunch of other stuff happening in the culture.
And that's the thing. Tebow, I feel like more than most, and a lot of the players and teams we're talking about, he's a Rorschach test.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess my assignment mm-hmm. coming out of this is like, think about the figures in sports you hate most and then think about why.
Right.
And then think about what that says about you.
Are you asking us to sympathize with these people?
No, God, no. The Bears? All right. Well, we, of course, want desperately to hear about your accumulated sports hatreds, listeners at home.
Mm-hmm.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday through iTunes or your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you so much, Gene.
This is so much fun, man. Let's do it again.